Please be seated. I'd like to start off by first thanking Reverend Steve Armstrong for the privilege of teaching God's Word. There's nothing I like more than teaching God's Word. It's my life. That's what I do. But, and Angela's teaching, man, that was so great. It's almost exactly what I'm going to teach. But you guys got my notes? I passed them out. These are the same notes that I'm going to be reading off from. And I may say what it says here, or I may not. But this would keep you. You don't really have to write any notes. But if you were to write a note, it would be, God gives us authority. But you don't even have to write that, because that's the title. But that's good to know, that God gives us the authority. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth." That must be this area here. And where I live in Maine. That's pretty cool. The word for power in verse 8 is the Greek word dunamis. And the reason we got this power, which is in the gift of Holy Spirit once we get born again, is to be effective witnesses. To be good at it. To be able to get the job done. To really help people. To be dynamic. That's the reason for the Holy Spirit that we received. And in Matthew chapter 9, in verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." That's effective witnessing. And like Angela was saying, to be able to deliver people, to help people of every sickness and every disease. And then continue reading, like in verse 36 through 38, it says, "And when he saw the multitude," when Jesus saw the multitude, "he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And I think that's the way it is today. I think the harvest is still plenteous. There's still plenty of people who need and want to know the truth of God's word. But the laborers, I think, are still few. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto the harvest." Pray for more people to be excited about God and the things of God, to be dynamic witnesses, to be effective witnesses. See, he asked for us to pray for more people to help with the harvest. And in Matthew, this is really just continuing on, but in Matthew 10:1, it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power," the Greek word "authousia," sometimes translated authority. "He gave them authority against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." He gave them authority to do this. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preaching, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." Sometimes when I think of this, I think, what a quick class. Just got it all done in one session. Freely you have received, freely give. And God has given us the authority to do just that. In Matthew 10:9, it goes on and says, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his hires. See, they were not to provide for themselves. The workman is worthy of his meat. We are workmen. Now, this is kind of interesting. In the lands and times of the Bible, they were Oriental people, and they understood Oriental customs. And in the East, in the Orient, if someone did any service for God, they were noticed for that. For an example, if you're in a village and someone's getting married, everyone goes to the wedding to do service for God. That's how they looked at it. There's a funeral procession. Everyone goes. Why? It's a service to God. If they meet some strangers, what do? Well, they take them in and take care of them. They could be angels. They looked at things in a spiritual vein. So if someone came to your house or to your town and you were in the East and they showed you things about God, they said, hey, this is new teaching. His name's Jesus Christ. You ought to listen to him. They would go, oh, yeah, this is a thing from God. So they would bring you in, take care of you, supply your needs. So that's what it's talking about. It says the workman is worthy of his meat. A spiritual person from the East, that's the way they thought. They saluted it, they gave it peace. I want to read a similar record here in Luke chapter 10. And it says, after these things the Lord appeared, other 70. After these things the Lord appeared, other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face unto every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore, see, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, still great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers unto the harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs amongst wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. And salute no man by the way, because you got a mission to do. And unto whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace to this house. Does this house want the peace of God? Peace to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall remain upon it. And if not, it shall return to you again. And the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. That's a lot like us. Our laborer is worthy of the hire. It says, go not from house to house. If you're in a good place and they're feeding you and you're teaching the word there, stay there. And to whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you, eat such things as set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. That's effective witnessing. It's almost like door to door or something. They were to heal the sick and tell them about the kingdom of God that has come nigh unto us. And this is available today when people want it. It's available for them today. In verse 19 it says, and behold, I give you power. And that's that Greek word, ethousia, sometimes translated as authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know what that means? When you're out there holding forth God's word, nothing can harm you. Nothing can hurt you. Isn't that pretty neat? God is with you. God is backing you up. All those angels and Christ within you working for you. Sounds pretty cool. It's a great way to be. And I've been in situations like this when I was out witnessing late at night when I first got into the Word and found myself in the middle of a gigantic fist fight. And me and my partner were speaking the word, and this guy comes up and goes, "What gives you the right to talk like this?" And we go, "It says so in God's word. It says we have the word of reconciliation. We have the ministry of reconciliation." And one of the guys that was going to beat us up goes, "Leave these men alone. They know what they're talking about." And then he said to us, he goes, "I know, because I'm born of the seed of the serpent." So we had to spend the rest of the night telling that guy he couldn't be born of the seed of the serpent, but nothing happened to us. Not a thing. So that's pretty cool living. Pretty cool. "Nothing shall by any means hurt you." You know, the word serpent has been used in the Bible before, like in Genesis 3:1. He was more subtle than any other beast of the field. So we've seen the serpent before. And we've also can see the serpent in the book of Revelations in verse 12:9. It's in our notes here. It says, "The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." And that's what he's trying to do, is deceive the whole world. "And was cast out into earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So they're here on earth. We know that. Going to Mark 16, it says, "And he said unto them," Jesus Christ talking to them in Mark 16:15, it says, "And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," everyone. Go tell everybody. "And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." The first thing to do is like Jesus did. Jesus went preaching and teaching the gospel of the good news and of deliverance. That's our calling card. Letting them know about Jesus Christ and that deliverance is available. You know what someone first told me? They said, "Do you know that Jesus Christ came that you might have life and have it more abundantly?" That's the first thing that someone ever witnessed to me. You know what I said? I never heard that. The only thing I heard is that he died for me and it was my fault. You know, I didn't know that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's good news. That's what we can tell people. Jesus Christ came that we can have life and have it. Oh man, that first guy that witnessed to me, I was in a fast food restaurant. I was just sitting there. He comes in and sits down. And he goes, starts talking to me. And he goes, "Wouldn't you like to have an abundant life?" And I said, "Yes." He goes, "That's not what it says. It says more abundant life." He said that to me for over an hour. He just kept going over and over, you know, because we'd say, "How are things going? What's going?" You know, and I'd tell him, he goes, "Well, Jesus Christ came, you could have life more abundantly." I said, "Okay, let's go get it." And so he invited me to a fellowship, and I'm still going. Pretty neat. Mark 16, 17, and 20, it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." Pretty cool. "They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." That's our lifestyle. That's what we do on a regular basis. "And it shall not have, they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere," even around here. And even in Maine, they were speaking the word, because I heard it there. "And the Lord working with them, and the Lord confirmed the word with signs following." That's effective witnessing. Jesus says that those who would believe shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover, they shall do it. Look at Luke 19. I want to show you something that's kind of interesting. We read this earlier, but it says, "Behold, I give you power, authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power," and that's the word dunamis, "of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." See, once again, it's that Greek word athousia. We have authority. We have authority over all the serpents and scorpions. Now, scorpions have stingers in their tails, and their job is to hurt people. That's what a scorpion does. But we have power over all the enemy. That's what we have. And that's the word dunamis there. Power over all the enemy. Every day we wake up, every day we handle whatever is in front of us to handle, and we can do it without fear. We can do it without fear because we have the authority and the power to do it. The enemy cannot hurt us. It's not to say that he won't try. In Mark 16:18, it says, "They shall take up serpents." And that's said in like a statement, "They shall take up serpents." And then it goes on, "If they drink any deadly thing, it should not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick." But it says, "They shall take up serpents." You know what that means? It's going to happen. There's no if. But we have power and authority over the devil, so he cannot harm us. Nothing can stop us when we believe what we have in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors every day. I like to look at what Paul says about the enemy. In 2 Timothy 3:10 through 12, it says, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, and afflictions." Paul's saying, you've known my life in all kinds of ways. You've known who I am and what I put up with. "Which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured." See, Paul did see the serpent. He saw the persecutions. "But out of them all, the Lord delivered me." So it doesn't mean that we won't run into the serpent, but it means that we can overtake him. And then it goes on to say, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." But out of them all, the Lord delivered Paul. The Lord will deliver us also. We have Holy Spirit also. "Greater is he that is in us that is in the world." Cannot harm us. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, I've already said this, but thinking about what it says in Mark 16:18, it says, "They shall take up serpents." There's no ifs about it. "But out of them all, the adversary will cause us to be victorious in every situation." I want to look at another little record about authority, which I think is some tremendous lessons here. In Matthew 9, 6 through 8, it says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power and authority to forgive on earth, to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed and go into thy house. And he arose and departed into his house. And when the disciples saw it, he marveled in glory, which had given such authority unto men to do that. They glorified God, which had given them the authousia, the authority unto men." Remember, we are called to take the place of Jesus Christ here on earth. We are to do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater. We have the authority and the ability to do so. Here's another record that has some tremendous learning in it. "And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, There came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Jesus said, okay. And the centurion answered him. And look what he says here. Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, authousia, sometimes translated power, but I'm a man under authority. A centurion is someone who is in charge of 100 people. And he's in charge of 100 people, and he's got people that are in charge of him. That's what he's saying. And he says, let's read what it says. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doth it. Then Jesus heard it. He marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And the servant was healed in that selfsame hour. The hour was the shortest period of time in the lands and times of the Bible. We would say it in New York City, quicker than in New York City, second. It just happened that quick. But you know, the thing that amazes me, Jesus called the centurion understanding authority believing. Understanding authority. The reason that I think this teaching is important is we need to recognize our authority, who we are, and claim it and believe it. And know that we have more authority than the adversary. Like Angela said, you know, the devil spirits know what we have and they tremble. Because once we believe it, they have to run. Devil spirits are like this. Boom, bugs. Out of here. They should not bother us. So it's pretty cool. In the critical Greek lexicon in accordance to the English and Greek New Testament by E.W. Bullinger, it says the Greek word athousia, and this is the definition that you would find in there, and this is how it is written. Delegate. The authority to do anything. Permission. License. That's what we have received from God. We have the authority to do anything that God says we can do. We have the permission to do anything that God says we can do, and we got the license to do it. I wrote this little thing here. It says, I'm thankful for the scholars that have, you know, classified and did great research work to help us understand Greek words. It says, but you know something that I really get excited about? I really get excited what Jesus thinks. Because I believe Jesus Christ rightly divided the word. Remember when Jesus Christ rightly divided the phrase in Luke, where he stopped before the vengeance of our Lord? Jesus Christ rightly divided the word. Remember Jesus Christ at 12, talking to the doctors and the teachers and scholars, asking questions? I believe Jesus Christ rightly divided the word. So when I see something that Jesus says about a Greek word in God's word, I go, that might be true. You have to do a little research to see if it's in the text and stuff, but if Jesus says it, I believe it. I believe that Jesus Christ rightly divided the word. And Jesus called the centurion understanding authority believing. And you know, how you can tell if it was revelation or not? Simple, easy way. If it comes to pass or not. Things of God are not hit and miss. You know, like, you know, it works this time, it doesn't work this time. With God, it always works. Always. And that's how you know it's of God. It works. A couple more here that's interesting. Mark 3:13, it says, "And he goeth up into a mountain," this is Jesus, "and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to" what? Preach. Remember, this teaching started out that we've received the Holy Spirit so we could be effective witnesses. He brings in the 12 so they could be with him to learn more and so that they could preach. And to have power, authority to heal the sickness and to cast out devils. Jesus called whom he wanted, and when he got to the mountain, they were for two main purposes, and one was to be with him, and the other is so they could be effective witnesses. Like it says in Acts 1:8. In Luke 4:5-8, it says, "And the devil taketh him up into a high place." The devil takes Jesus Christ to a high place here. This is after he was 40 days in the wilderness. "And showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power, all this authority, I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me." See, the adversary has authority too. And by the way, it was given to him by Adam. And so the adversary, the devil, told Jesus, "I got this authority that I can use." So he has some. But look how Jesus Christ handles it. Well, of course, the adversary says, "For it was delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Jesus Christ used his authority, what he had permission for, to put the adversary in his place. And we can do the same thing. The adversary can say, I got the power over the earth. I can bring sickness, and I will if I want. We can say, we don't care. Our God's bigger than you. We can lay hands on the sick, and you know what they're going to do? Recover. We can kick out devil spirits. Get out of here. Pretty neat. It's really cool, I think, to understand that word "authusia," the power we have. And the last one I want to go to is in Luke 9:1-2. It says, "And when he had called his disciples together, he gave them power, dunamis, and authority." The power and the authority over a few of the devils. All devils. And to cure diseases. And he sent them forth to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. Pretty neat. The word power in this here is the word dunamis. And the Greek word for authority is authusia. And once again, the reason is to preach the kingdom. Thank you very much for allowing me to share God's word.